The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
It's a simple question of job approval. Barely 40% approve of Joe Biden's performance.
And we have to note 56%. That's the highest disapproval rating for President Biden since he took office. That's significant.
Yeah, so let's take a look at what's driving that too here. In one big area, no surprise, it is the economy. Look at this contrast. This is April of 21, months after Biden took office. Nearly half the country was satisfied with where the economy was then. Now, barely one in four Americans satisfied with the economy. And the problem for Democrats, too, the lack of enthusiasm about the election. There's clearly a lack of enthusiasm about the president himself, because we asked primary voters on the Democratic side, do you want options next year besides Biden? 59% said yes, they do. This is not a normal number for an incumbent. We asked the same question a year before Donald Trump sought re-election of Republicans. Only 37% wanted more choices then. That's a very high number. It raises the question to what else concerns Democrats. And I think this gets to sort of the elephant in the room here, Biden's age and fitness. So, I mean, look at this contrast. We have talked so much about Donald Trump, the indictments, the legal woes. They are clearly a major or moderate concern to the majority of Americans. But Biden's age and fitness for office, almost 3 out of 4 in our poll. This is Democrats, Republicans, independents say it's a major or moderate concern for them. How about Trump? He's only a few years younger than Biden, a full 27-point gap right there. This is looming as a major problem for the president, too.
The crosstabs are seriously stunning. There's a 13-point spread with independents. Even, catch this, the 18 to 35 demographic, Trump wins 53 to 38. And of all the issues, Joe Biden pulled the lowest at his approval rating on, you guessed it, immigration. I think it was about a 23%. That's about 1 in 5 people approving of the job that he's doing.
Martha, these numbers are simply staggering for the sitting president. 44% of people in this poll say they are not as well off as they were at the start of the Biden administration 2.5 years ago. Those are the worst numbers that we've seen in our ABC News, Washington Post polling. President Biden has been out there trying to make the case. Unemployment is low. He's been talking about how inflation has been easing, but people aren't buying it. Right now, on the big picture on the economy, 74% of the country, that's about 3/4 of Americans, who say the economy is either not so good or downright poor. Martha, let's talk about age, because we know for sure that the country certainly is. President Biden would be 82 years old on Inauguration Day 2025. That's how old he is. He's not getting any younger. And of course, perceptions around his ability to perform in the job are not getting any better. Right now, 3/4 of Americans, 74%, say that he is too old to effectively serve in a second term. That compares to about 50% who say the same around Donald Trump.
Let's go back to that poll. Trump with a 9-point lead over President Biden in that poll. And whatever caveats, whether that is an outlier, that's a tough one to spin.
There you go, a mega montage to begin today's show, this good Tuesday morning. That's a collection of some of the statements made over the weekend when these stunning poll results showed up, these surveys showing that people want other options. 60% of Democrats want some other option besides Joe Biden. Pretty unbelievable statistics. And, of course, the regime media, they can't ignore these results. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream at trumpetdaily.com. You can also watch the shows after the fact over there, but also you get the same two options at our Rumble channel. Just search for the Trumpet Daily at Rumble. Some of you watching the show on LFA TV are curious about whether or not you can tune in earlier on another channel, and you sure can. Just go to the Trumpet Daily. Go to rumble.com and then /Trumpet Daily. It takes you right to our channel, and you can watch it every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. If you want to wait and watch it in the evening time at LFA TV, that's fine too. That showing is at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. on the East Coast, every weekday evening. The Twitter handle, if you want to follow me and some of the videos that we're able to post that come right from this show, just go to at Stephen Fleury over at Twitter, or I guess it's now X. I got to get that straight. X or Twitter, what's formerly known as Twitter, if you'd like to follow our tweets. So lots to get to on today's show. We actually recorded yesterday's show at the end of last week, so it feels like it was a three-day weekend in many respects. Lots of clips that we've accumulated. I think we've got 20 clips for today. I don't think we'll be able to play through all of them. Well, I guess you saw about four of them there right at the start. So at least we're off and running with a pretty good start. But just coming back to some of these dreadful numbers that Joe Biden is polling. Newsweek says that his nightmare election scenario is if Robert Kennedy Jr. breaks away and runs as an independent. And he hasn't exactly shot that down. He'd like to stay in his family's political party. But if he doesn't get a fair shake, this article from Newsweek is quoting him as saying, they're trying to make sure that I can't participate at all in the political process. And so I'm going to keep all my options open, said Kennedy. I mean, he's actually, his polling rates are higher than anyone else competing against Donald Trump. And yet look at how the conservative media just still is hopefully saying, well, maybe it's now Nikki Haley. Maybe it can be someone other than DeSantis if he's not going to pan out. Well, there's also been some stories out there showing that the Republican donors, these billionaire donors, they've about had enough. It's a waste of money. Donald Trump's got it in the bag, some of them are saying. But with RFK, I mean, he actually would have a legitimate shot. You saw the cold open there. People want alternatives. The Daily Mail reports Hillary Clinton warns Joe Biden in private meeting that third-party candidates could prove disastrous for him, as the White House insider calls the situation. Well, he uses some profanity there. But Hillary Clinton saying, look, if there's some more traction for these third party candidates, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Sundance had a piece last week, again, on Donald Trump's rising popularity, saying that the landslide, I mean, it might be so massive that no amount of cheating could take it away from Trump this time around. You've got other commentators on the left saying he's got better chances to win this time than he did in 2016. And this after what? A three-year investigation from Bob Mueller that was intended to, well, not only cover the tracks for the deep state, all of their criminal activity, but to attack Donald Trump for 3 years, and then two impeachments, and then what else? Four indictments, then a raid on Mar-a-Lago. And his polling is as high as it's ever been. Truly unusual in the history of American politics, for sure. This is from Axios. Biden's team, they don't want him to trip. That's the mission that they're on. How about this? As he gets ready for 2024, President Biden and his campaign are working on a critical project for his reelection bid. Make sure he doesn't trip. There you go. The campaign agenda for 2020, tuck him in the basement. And now 2024, don't let him trip. Put on the sneakers, go up the shorter staircase, whatever you have to do. Certainly move the sandbags from the platform. And just make sure, whatever happens, that he doesn't trip. It says, as voters express deep concerns about the 80-year-old president's age and fitness for office, Biden's team is taking extra steps, no pun intended, extra steps to prevent him from stumbling in public, as he did in June when he tripped over a sandbag at the Air Force Academy. Listen to this. It says, with a physical therapist, Biden has been doing exercises to improve his balance as far back as November 2021. Since his stumble in June, he's been wearing tennis shoes more often to avoid slipping, and using the short stairs on Air Force One entering the plane on the lower deck than before. I guess it's not funny, but considering he's the Democrat front runner, I guess at least to this point, this is pretty crazy stuff. It says here, Democrats, including some in the administration, are terrified that Biden will have a bad fall with the nightmare scenario of it happening in the weeks before the November 2024 election. So Biden, I mean, he looks like he's staying the course, even though there's quite a few Democrats calling for him to step aside. These next few months are going to be pretty interesting, to say the least. It says some senior Democrats privately have been frustrated with Biden's advance team for months, citing the sandbag incident. In other words, his team hasn't sheltered him or protected him well enough like they did in 2020. Back then, I mean, you just tuck him in the basement and then rely on the cheating schemes. They were all in place thanks to COVID. Scamdemic. 100 mail-in ballots. Friday, I tweeted out this story from Conservative Treehouse just to follow on what we were discussing quite a lot last week with respect to the crisis at the border. I mean, this is one of the huge reasons why his polling numbers are dreadful, because people see what's happening at the southern border. 10,000 migrants, immigrants, illegal immigrants, just streaming across the border every day. Every day. It's like you're adding a small city to the United States of America. And then you look at the accumulation of it for 365 days. It says here, this is from a Conservative Treehouse, Friday afternoon statistic dump. Border Patrol reports that over 7.5 million illegal aliens released into the U.S. during the Biden term. 7.5 million, and we're not even 3 years through. And did you know, this is according to DHS, I guess, that of the 7.5 million, 5.18 million of them are single adult males? Yeah, there's hardly any women or children. Well over, what, 66%, almost 70%. Single adult males, and they're coming from all over. Not just Mexico, Venezuela, a lot of them are coming from China. They're China nationals. And they're military age. What do you think about that? How does that make you feel? What other nation in the world would tolerate something such as this? And yet for Joe Obama, I mean, it's doors wide open. It says here, the Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Patrol, waiting until Friday afternoon to drop the latest statistics. Yeah, do it when the news cycle slows down so people don't notice, hopefully. It says here, on illegal alien apprehensions at the U.S. southern border, as a current surge is underway, the August apprehension rate was 304,000, the highest of any month so far on record. That's just last month. It says here, since Joe Biden took office, over 7.5 million illegal aliens have been encountered. Well, you got the statistics in the headline, I suppose. 5.18 million single adult male. I guess they're fleeing situations that are just really dangerous. So the single adult males have to be the first ones to flee the Titanic, I guess. What a joke. Propaganda. We've got to try to open those floodgates because these people are suffering. And so in comes a single adult male army of more than 5 million people. Listen to this from Fox News. This is also from Friday, clip two.
CBP sources confirmed to Fox News just moments ago that the total number of migrant encounters this fiscal year 2023 have surpassed last year's record-breaking numbers. Take a look here. You see, so far this fiscal year, and there's 8 days left in this fiscal year, 2,388,350 plus compared to that 2,378,000 from last year that shattered the records, more than 10,000, and you're getting upwards of 9,000 a day. Let's take a look at the video we saw yesterday all day long here at Ground Zero across the entire southwest border. Sources telling Fox News there were more than 9,900 encounters yesterday. Just part of why agents here are telling us off camera, it's showing no signs of slowing down.
Record-setting year last year for illegal immigration, and we just surpassed that. So this year is even worse than last year. Pete Buttigieg, he's on one of the Sunday shows the other day. Listen to Kristen Welker as she kind of pins him down on whether or not this administration was caught off guard with respect to this avalanche of illegal immigration. Clip three.
Was the Biden administration caught off guard by this latest surge of migrants?
Well, what you saw was the administration, as always, responding as needed to conditions, being proactive where necessary.
Were you caught off guard, though?
Look, the president did what needed to be done.
You heard that correctly there at the end. The president did what needed to be done. There's really no explanation about what exactly that was, but just be assured we weren't caught off guard. And the president did exactly what he needed to do. Listen to Representative Jeff Van Drew on Fox over the weekend, clip four.
They are trying to change the entire United States of America. You know, there's some good people that are trying to get across too, but they're doing it the wrong way, illegally. But we have Chinese nationals, thousands of them coming across. What are they about? What's going on? We don't even know who these people are that are coming in. We have people that are on the terror watch list. We're only catching some of them. We're not catching all of them. They're coming into our country. This is the greatest national crisis of our time.
And he's exactly right. I mean, Chinese nationals by the thousands, terrorists, people on the terrorist watch list. Last I checked, I think it was like 170 terrorists that they've apprehended. What about the ones that escape through without being detected? They just waltz right in. In many cases, they're not hurrying because they know they're going to be welcomed into the United States. Joe Biden is doing exactly what needs to be done. Listen to Brandon Judd, also on Fox News, clip five.
When you look at what's going on under this administration, we are seeing more fentanyl on our streets than we've ever seen before. We're seeing more deaths of United States citizens than we've ever seen before. We're seeing more crime than we've ever seen before by illegal immigrants in the United States. We're also seeing more deaths of those people that are crossing our borders illegally. We're seeing more drownings than ever before. We're seeing more deaths in the deserts than we've ever seen before. Everything is at record high under this administration, and it's all based upon their policies. They changed policies that were working that President Trump implemented. And because of those changes, we're seeing a complete chaos on our borders.
Joe Biden's doing exactly what needs to be done. It's all part of the plan, isn't it? It's intentional what they're doing here. It's all part of the fundamental transformation of the United States. Joe Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, he's pulling the puppet strings and he's laughing. He's because all of this is falling on Joe Biden's poll numbers. Even as the fundamental transformation continues, we played that clip for you last week from Governor Hochul up in New York, where she basically said, look, we're at capacity. We don't have any more space. We don't have any more resources for any more migrants. Other people, other cities and states have to help us out. We've got to spread them out more. I guess that's the solution. Listen to her again more recently, clip six.
This was intended to help homeless people stay off the streets, help families, but it was never intended to be an unlimited universal right and obligation to shelter the entire world. And that's the way it's been interpreted. We really need to stop the incoming. We're still seeing about 3,000 a week. That's absolutely unsustainable. We're working so hard, spending millions of dollars, state dollars, to build shelters to house 3,000 here, 2,000 here, 1,000 here. It's still not enough. So the word has to get out that New York has always been that place of welcoming immigrants. All of us came from somewhere. Our parents did, grandparents. But there is a limit to who we can house at this time, and we need the rest of the country to step up. But most importantly, it starts at the border with enforcement, and it also has to start in Washington with common sense immigration reform.
And, of course, with respect to immigration reform, the problem here is with Republicans. So it always gets back to the political fighting. But both sides are delinquent on this case, on this issue, for sure. Both sides, they couldn't care less. They want wide open borders. It suits both sides, Republican and Democrat, politically. But there she is. I mean, she's saying, look, we put these policies in place to try to help get some of the homeless off the streets and so on and so forth. But we didn't put it in place so that we could shelter the world, she said. We don't have any more space for these people. So the only one out there that's giving a message that any Americans feel like, well, at least there's some hope in that. That would be, of course, the bad orange man, Donald John Trump. You'll notice that there wasn't a lot in the news about just tens of thousands streaming across the border every day in the Trump years. Now, he certainly had to fight Republicans and Democrats alike to get 500 miles of the fence put up. But he did uphold border security laws that are in place even to this day. They're just not being applied. The security officials are just turning a blind eye. In fact, they're facilitating the movement of this flood of people by cutting razor wire and so on that Texas has put in place to just say, hey, come right on in. This was Donald Trump a few days ago in Dubuque, Iowa, clip 19.
What's happening to us is not sustainable. It's not sustainable by any country. I believe the number is going to be by the end of the year, 15 million. The real number is 15 million people. That's the size of New York State. A vote for President Trump means Joe Biden's horror show at the southern border ends at noon on Inauguration Day 2025. In 2016, you remember this, I ran on the border wall. That was a big deal. I ran on the border and the unsecure and very unsafe border. And we did so well that by 2020, the election of 2020, nobody even talked about the border. I couldn't bring it up. It was a subject nobody, because we had it down so good that it ceased to become a campaign issue. And now the entire world is saying once again that Trump was right. We were so right. We sent home nearly 1 million illegals during my first term, and we will far surpass that number because we have no choice. No country can sustain what's happened to us in the last 3 years. No country can sustain it.
Send more than a million of them home. He sent that many home in his first term. I mean, that's the kind of campaign speech that sends a thunderbolt right across the establishment. He said in another speech, I played the clip last week, it's going to be the largest deportation from the United States in the history of any presidency. This is what he's promising. And people cheer. People say, now that makes sense. People, they know his record. They've got 4 years to go on. Even though he was persecuted and attacked, spied on all through those years, impeached, indicted, raided. They know his record, and that's why he's bowing out of the next Republican debate. I think that's tomorrow night. And he basically says, no, I mean, I don't need to go to that. I mean, the American people know my record. They know who I am. And so whatever he does, just like with the Tucker interview the first time around, I think he's got a rally this time around. But whatever he does, he'll get more eyeballs on his rally or his interview than all the rest in the field will get during an official debate. And then meanwhile, you've got the radicals on the communist left just continuing on, basically saying that if a majority of Americans vote and choose Donald Trump as the next president, well, then that's the end of democracy. In other words, if it's put to a Democratic vote and Trump wins, that's it. It's over. That's how they're reasoning, these people. They're deranged. You listen to them and there's multiple laugh out loud moments every single morning just with these clips we pull together. Listen to this montage, clip 15.
Do you think that that's a real concern? And are you concerned that you could be on Trump's enemies list?
Well, sure. I think there are probably a lot of people that are potentially on such a list. That's reprehensible. That's a real concern for many of us.
That the newly elected president will come after him. Emilia has reportedly told people, quote, he'll start throwing people in jail and I'd be on the top of the list. Do you think that's a justified concern?
Look, I think it's a legitimate fear. It's hard for me to believe I'm saying that as well. I wish I didn't have to say that. But if I didn't have the experience in the Oval Office with President Trump seriously wanting to call back to active duty McChrystal and McRaven to court-martial them, you know, I would be less certain. But unfortunately, it is what it is.
Now is the time if these politicians, these men and some women that are currently in Congress want to make the break and want to take the stand, they have to do it now. We can't wait any longer for them to do it. We're talking about a man who, at the very essence of his being, almost destroyed democracy in one day, and he wants to do it again. He wants to run for president to do it again. He's been indicted four times since January 6th. I would not have a clear conscience and be able to sleep at night if I were a Republican in Congress that supported Donald Trump. And, you know, I think that if they're not willing to split with that, then we're in serious danger for the party.
Everything that Donald Trump says should be taken literally and seriously. Is he's going to shut down the free media in the United States. Is he's coming after the American media. He's coming after his political opponents. He's running for retribution. We are on the edge of an abyss in this country that they have announced their plans 6 months into 2025 to have taken apart the whole of the federal government. Now, since FDR's time in office, the legislative metric in the United States has been 100 days, not 6 months. This is a racist code whistle to every white supremacist in the country, because it's how long it took Adolf Hitler to take Weimar Germany to a complete and total dictatorship.
Of course, Adolf Hitler, blah, blah, blah. That may be the last time we play a clip of Steve Schmidt. There's plenty of lunatics to find each morning, as I say. They even pulled back the clavicles lady. The clavicles lady who said every fiber of his being, he almost destroyed democracy in one day. She's got a book coming out this week. So out come all of the juiciest bits. I mean, she had some a while back when she's testifying. She got her 15 minutes of fame. She said that they went for the clavicles. And then you fast forward. You don't hear from her for a while, but she's there hard at work on this lucrative book deal. And now, as the book comes out, here come more juicy bits that she had tucked away up here. That's right. These people, this is happening. Those statements, those unhinged statements, it's happening even as Joe Obama is out there arresting Trump and his lawyers. He's raiding their homes. They're censoring free speech, all the things that they talked about right there. Meanwhile, you see what happened up in Canada on Sunday as far as this Hitler. They've been using Hitler and Nazis so often. I mean, it's like Glenn Greenwald says, it loses its meaning. And meanwhile, the Canadian Parliament invites an actual Nazi, and the guy gets a standing ovation. You can't make this up. You just can't. He gets a standing ovation. I mean, this is perfect. All of these communists in Canada. Remember when the truckers, this was a year and a half ago, the truckers were driving across Canada, and for all the news, based on the mainstream coverage, they were flying the swastika flag. They were all Nazis. Trudeau said so. This is clip 20.
How much vitriol do we have to see of Honk Honk, which is an acronym for Hail Hitler, do we need to see by these protesters on social media?
Mm-hmm. Conservative Party members can stand with people who wave swastikas. They can stand with people who wave the Confederate flag. We will choose to stand with Canadians who deserve to be able to get to their jobs, who be able to get their lives back. These illegal protests need to stop, and they will, Mr. Speaker.
And I didn't see it, but I'm presuming those same two were leading the standing ovation for the actual Nazi who worked for Hitler in World War II. What was the Sea Kyle? Well, whatever, we can move on from the truckers. It's really unbelievable stuff. These people that claim Donald Trump and his supporters, it's like Glenn Greenwald said it best. Western media sees fascism under every MAGA hat but applauds actual Nazis. in Ukraine. That was his segment. And then you've got one in the Canadian Parliament. There you go. This is speaking of lunatics that just pop off with the most crazy, deranged commentary that you could imagine. Perhaps this is another one that should be the last time we play a clip of. This is Michael Beschloss. He's the resident historian at MSNBC. Listen to him explain how that the Donald Trump movement succeeded. It's because of the internet. This is clip one.
Let's travel back to the not entirely wonderful world of the mid-1990s. And that was a time that two things happened. Number one, the internet was beginning to spread, so you could have social media sites, in this case, right-wing radical sites that spread all sorts of information to potentially billions of people. That had never happened before in history. Before then, it would have to be some guy standing on a street corner with some crazy flyer. That was a big difference in our country. And so that set the stage for a demagogue, Donald Trump, to come in 2016, use this technology, the cable network, websites that would amplify his message, reaching all sorts of people that Richard Nixon never could have in 1974, and projecting a view of himself that was not true. So the point I'm making is that for most of American history, we might have had a demagogue run for president, but that person would have been stopped by a party structure.
We need the party structures, that's for sure, to stop the demagogues. But you see, the internet facilitated this. Never mind the left-wing sites and the message they spread and how that facilitated the emergence of Barack Obama. Everything was perfect, I guess. With Clinton, the internet comes along. There's Clinton. That's fine. Internet, George W. Bush, fine. Barack Obama, fine. Okay, just keep going. Then you get to Donald Trump, and that's where the Nazis somehow gain control of the internet. And all of these right-wing, used to be on a soapbox on the street corner, but now they're using the internet. The internet paved the way for the bad orange man. This is a historian, this guy. There's MSNBC carrying on with what you would expect. Mr. Anonymous, he came out with this rich tweet, Miles Taylor. Trump leads Biden. The polls aren't off. I've been saying this for 2 years. Trump's more likely to win now than in 2016. And believe me, American democracy won't survive Trump 2.0. So if he wins by a Democratic vote, democracy won't survive. Got it. Got it. That's the message. That's their hot take on this Tuesday morning. There was a pretty amazing exchange, a revealing exchange between Matt Gaetz, he's the staunch Republican from Northern Florida, and then Maria Bartiromo. We've played lots of clips from her show over the years, but she challenged him on resisting against Kevin McCarthy, who's proven himself to be a rhino. And she said, look, we're making great gains, the Republican Party. So you and the other four of you that are resisting against this continuing resolution that just basically says, look, throw $7 trillion more dollars into federal spending this year, no problem. And that way Jim Comer can keep his investigation going and we can keep applying a little pressure on the Biden crime family. And Matt Gaetz is saying, no, we upped it to $7 trillion during the COVID crisis and we haven't lowered it since. And you see skyrocketing inflation because of it. Added to that, there's no defunding of these agencies that have been so obviously weaponized. And oh yeah, what about all the billions going to Ukraine? Maybe we can send that to Maui, or maybe we can send it to East Palestine. But let's do something, or secure the border. All of these problems, these curses, and a little bit of pushback against the establishment. And I tell you, the establishment, the people that have the loudest voice in the establishment, they don't like it. It's like Sundance said, Gaetz struck a nerve. And Maria Bartiromo, she revealed herself to be siding with the rhinos. She had to come back the next day and backtrack just because of the onslaught of criticism. The American people see it, the border. They see Ukraine. They see Maui. They see East Palestine. They see runaway inflation. They see an economy that's just sinking by the day. Listen to this as Gates spars with Bartiromo. This is clip 11.
I'm glad I get to respond to your monologue, because if you're saying that I'm standing in the way of all the Republican wins, I'd love you to enumerate them. Watching my friend and mentor Jim Jordan, it was quite painful, because he started by saying we should only pick one fight, the border. But then as the interview went on, he said, well, we should pick a second fight, Jack Smith. And by the time the interview rounded out, he was saying that we shouldn't be funding Ukraine without a plan. And yet the very continuing resolution that you and Jim Jordan seemed to be for continues to have $300 million more for Ukraine. So I think we ought to fight on all fronts. I think the border is very important. And the best way for us to advance the Republican border policies is to pass the Department of Homeland Security Appropriations Bill, do that along with veterans, defense, ag, state and foreign ops. We'll have 73% of the discretionary budget funded. And if, you know, the Department of Labor and Education have to shut down for a few days as we get their appropriations in line, that's certainly not something that is optimal. But I think it's better than continuing on the current path we are to America's financial ruin.
And these are everything he rattled off there are promises that Kevin McCarthy made back in January in order to secure his seat as House Speaker. Yeah, okay, we'll have the appropriation bills. We'll do single items at a time, and not just this massive continuous resolution that just throws another $7 trillion into the coffers at the DOJ, at the FBI, at DHS, or whatever. Instead, he comes along and says, you know, I'm going to hold McCarthy's feet to the fire. He promised this. But you see, for Bartiromo and so many others, they say, well, you know, politics, it's just kind of messy. So we're finally getting some traction with the Comer investigation. No subpoenas for Hunter or anyone else in the deep state that harassed and persecuted Donald Trump for years. None of that. But, you know, it's kind of like he said later in the interview. It's like we're playing patty cake with the radical left. How about something more serious? Everything he said there is reasonable. But as Sundance brings out, it definitely touched a nerve. Listen to clip 12.
So tell me why you are threatening Speaker McCarthy and trying to shut down this government at a time that the Republicans have finally gotten some upper hands here in terms of wins, able to investigate President Biden on what looks like bribery.
Yeah, we don't put our pencils down in the investigation of President Biden during a shutdown, so the premise is false. Second, if Kevin McCarthy was actually serious about pursuing the Bidens, he would have sent Hunter Biden a subpoena by now. That's how you know this is sort of failure theater that you're observing. During the first year of Democrat control of the Congress, they brought in Donald Trump Jr. three times over nothing, over a nothing burger. And so we seem to be fundamentally unserious in our oversight, but what is serious is the fact that we are spending more than $7 trillion a year, bringing in around $5 trillion a year. And I want to fund the government. I'm not pro shutdown, but the way to fund the government is not the same way we've been doing it since the mid 90s, where it's one up or down vote on the entire government all at once.
He's completely right. And the establishment doesn't like it. You know, he's basically one of five conservative Republicans protesting the do it the same way we've been doing it since the 1990s, just one massive bloated package, up or down vote, send it on through, DOJ gets the same amount of money, Ukraine gets so much more funded, just keep doing the same thing. He says no. McCarthy says he says we would break it down into an item by item issue. And we've got appropriations bills that have been in place for several months, 3 months, in the case of border security. But McCarthy can't push it on through because he wants it all to be lumped together, and then all the pork barrel spending continues. We continue to break the back of ordinary Americans. It continues to fuel runaway inflation, but we can control it and have the power, you see. And then also get some of those sound bites. We can drag in Merrick Garland for a hearing from time to time, and he can squirm a little bit. But like Gates pointed out, then he goes back to the DOJ, and the coffers are full, and he can continue to use that department as a weapon to persecute Donald Trump and MAGA. You can see why Trump came out with this statement. It's quoted in Reuters. It says Republicans in Congress can and must defund all aspects of crooked Joe Biden's weaponized government. There's not even any talk of this. Congress actually using the power that it has, the power of the purse, to slap down, to smack down the DOJ and say, no, you've been raiding homes, you've been arresting lawyers, you've been arresting Donald Trump. He's gone through 2-3 arraignments already, dragging him into court. 91 counts, 91 felony counts, 600-700 years in jail. His opponents refer to him as Hitler. He's just a businessman at this point. He's not even in politics. He's not even in the swamp. He's in Florida. This is from the New York Times. Well, I'll get to that in a second. Let me just play the final clip of Matt Gaetz going back and forth with Bartiromo, clip 10.
The Department of Homeland Security appropriations bill was passed out of the Appropriations Committee in June. And yet Kevin McCarthy hasn't put it on the floor in more than 100 days. That is not serious. You know why Kevin McCarthy didn't move our border appropriations bill? Because the lobbyists and the special interests who own Kevin McCarthy want to put us in this position where we're backed up against the wall facing shutdown politics. And what that does is it centralizes power to the people that they buy off with PAC donations and lobbyist donations, and then the membership doesn't get to make real contributions to that process. I'm trying to democratize it.
He's trying to spread it out and give the American people a voice. They see America spending $7 trillion per year, didn't dial it back a penny after COVID. In COVID's year, we got to do it. It's a crisis. We got to send out all the checks. You know, we got to make sure everyone's taken care of, even as they were shutting down businesses. $7 trillion budget. And the United States takes in $5 trillion. Is that sustainable? That's like the southern border crisis. And yet Jim Jordan and all the rest, McCarthy, even Bartiromo, let's just put the stamp, the rubber stamp on it, approve it like we always do, like we've done for 30 some years. Never mind that it breaks the back of ordinary Americans. Let's just have all the special interests have their say, and we'll meekly submit to them. Bartiromo, I mean, there was such a backlash following that interview. And good for him. You know, his interview followed Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan's on there basically saying, well, yeah, we need to look at what's going on in Ukraine. And yeah, we've got to check these things line by line, item by item. But then in the end, hey, get the continuing resolution going and keep McCarthy in power. And we'll keep, you know, we'll keep the, we won't subpoena Hunter. We won't really be aggressive. We'll play patty cake and maybe we'll get some good sound bites. Republicans are, they're good at investigating things, having a hearing, getting the soundbite, but who's held to account? That's where they show their weakness. And Bartiromo's probably the last best conservative commentator that they have at Fox or Fox Business. But even she's coming under tremendous pressure from the Murdoch family. Listen, we're Kevin McCarthy Republicans, certainly not Matt Gaetz. Even still, because of the backlash, listen to what she said then the following day, clip 13.
That's the point I was trying to make yesterday when I spoke with Matt Gaetz. Why blow up the, you know, the wins and the victories that we've seen so far in the GOP? Why attack the speaker? But at the same time, my thinking is evolving here. I don't know that a government shutdown is all that big of a deal, actually. If they can get four appropriations bills done this week or three appropriations bills done this week, which, of course, is a high order, we could actually see a majority of the government funded.
Her thinking's evolving now, you see. And maybe a government shutdown is not that big of a deal. Every other show on Fox has had Mark Levin on over the last few days saying, on the one hand, well, I was part of the Reagan administration when they had six shutdowns in 8 years. Now Levin believes it's the end of the world. If Matt Gaetz gets his way, then, hey, we lose momentum in the Comer investigation. Hey, we lose momentum. The spending, the drunken sailor spending has to stop. Or else everything ends in ruin. That's where we're headed. What if There's 221 Republicans in the House. What if they all thought like Matt Gaetz? Think about the power. Like he pointed out, as soon as the Democrats get power, they haul Don Jr. in to testify three times under oath. For what? Nobody even remembers. Nobody even knows. It was for nothing. And yet Hunter, he's got his crimes all over his laptop and everywhere else. You can't even drag him in for one testimony under oath? What about all those other people that were working to destroy Donald Trump's presidency? None of them held to account. Haul them back in, Strzok and Page and all those people, Comey, Clapper. You can see Clapper, how fearful he is that there may be any kind of retribution once Donald Trump controls the White House. They fear that. You can see it in that montage I played a moment ago. They should fear that on a congressional level as well. The Republicans control the majority. But it just exposes that exchange there between Gaetz and Bartiromo. So revealing, isn't it? Another revealing statement. This was actually made by Donald Trump out on the campaign trail just the other day. Listen to what he said about Lindsey Graham, clip 16.
Another man who's always there. He's always, I'll tell you what, when I need help on the left, he's great. He's great. And he's my friend, too. Lindsey Graham, wherever you are. Lindsey.
And then the MAGA supporters loudly boo Donald Trump. This is not the sound you hear from a crowd that is worshiping Donald Trump, no matter what he says. This is the sound you hear from a crowd that realizes it's losing its country, that realizes the country is being destroyed from within because of rhinos like Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Grahamnesty, never done a thing about the border security, and most of the others haven't either. Five, you know what's revealing about the big exchange between Gaetz and Bartiromo? The fact that there's only five that are stonewalling this continuing resolution. Five members of 221 Republicans, there's just five that have drawn a line in the sand and said, nope, McCarthy lied to us. So McCarthy's in a bit of a bind. If he sides with Democrats to get rid of these five nuisances, well, then the motion to vacate comes later and McCarthy may lose his job as Speaker. Good for at least a few, but even the comment that Donald Trump made there shows that so many of just the ordinary Americans, the populist movement, they know the country is dying, and it's dying because of the administrative state, among other things. I mean, it's looking at it from God's perspective. It's Isaiah 1. It's a sickness that just runs head to toe, but we can focus on this show anyway, on the sickness in the head, the leadership. The swamp, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, they won't stand against the onslaught, the continuous resolution. That's just another way of saying, just go with the status quo. The New York Times this morning, it says, money for Ukraine is at the center of Senate bid to avert shutdown. People familiar with the talks said a Ukraine sticking point said a major sticking point was whether to add up to $25 billion in new assistance to Ukraine. Congress has approved about $113 billion already. So they want to throw in another $25, just quietly throw it in the continuous resolution, even if Republicans don't want it. I mean, you've got to want it because this is what we always do. So the pork barrel spending, the $7 trillion budget when it should be $5 trillion, never mind any of that, just keep doing what we've been doing. Listen, this is from 60 Minutes the other night, talking about the money that the United States is sending into Ukraine. Clip 17.
American taxpayers are financing more than just weapons. We discovered the U.S. government's buying seeds and fertilizer for Ukrainian farmers and covering the salaries of Ukraine's first responders. All 57,000 of them. Russia's invasion shrank Ukraine's economy by about a third. We were surprised to find that to keep it afloat, the U.S. government is subsidizing small businesses.
Can you believe this? It's not just military funding. Subsidizing small businesses? You think there's some small businesses in the United States that might be just a little bit angry about this? Paying salaries for 57,000 first responders. We're basically funding the Ukrainian economy. No wonder Zelensky's making the rounds in Canada, in the United States. No wonder he's going on to any talk show or interview that he can get. The gravy train is right there in Washington, D.C. How much money could you completely, how much money would it take to just completely rebuild Lahaina, that community that was just burned to the ground because of those wildfires in Maui? Or what about East Palestine? Joe Biden can't even visit that area. He can't even visit the area. No subsidies, nothing. No help for the small businesses. Just let it run out of the news cycle after 6-7 days and then move on. But not so in Ukraine. 57,000 salaries. And then you add to that all of the subsidies and the salaries that were given to Venezuelan men, single men, young men, military age men, just streaming across the border, together with the free cell phone, together with the hotel stays, the free airline tickets, you name it. Money to burn. Well, we're spending $7 trillion. And we're doing it every year because of this thing called a continuous revolution. It's continuous insanity. And one person, well, let's say five people, stonewall it, and it'll probably just end up being stonewalled for a few days, maybe a couple weeks. But what does that say about what it says over in 2 Kings 14? There's just no helper. And Donald Trump, when he gets up and talks about a helper, a good helper from time to time, Lindsey Graham, look at how the audience responds. Well, most of the time, Trump is spot on. But not so when he introduced Lindsey Graham. Here he is in Summersville, South Carolina. This is from yesterday, clip 18.
They put illegal aliens first and everyone first, but he puts America last. He puts our military last. He puts our veterans last. He puts workers last. He puts small businesses last. He puts everything that's good and proper last. He puts it last.
The illegal aliens come first in the Joe Obama administration. Ukrainian small businesses, they come ahead of U.S. small businesses. Ukrainian first responders, law enforcement, the economy there. Well, we've got to help them. This is Mitch McConnell's called this, I think, the most important issue that we're facing. That was a few months ago. He's actually mentioned in this New York Times piece. It says, Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky and the minority leader, has been one of the staunchest backers of Ukraine on Capitol Hill and has also joined with Democrats to pursue higher government spending levels than House Republicans. He wants to spend more than the House Republicans, than Jim Jordan and McCarthy. Yeah, we got to give more to Ukraine. It says the Republicans lost big. This is quoting Donald Trump. They lost big on debt ceiling. McCarthy and company, they caved into that, gave the Schumer and company everything that they wanted. That was a few months ago. Now we're on to the continuous resolution stage. Just give them everything they want again. Trump says, and now we're worried that they will be blamed for the budget shutdown. Wrong. Whoever is president will be blamed. Trump added, unless you get everything, shut it down. Well, they survived 6 shutdowns in the Reagan years. You really think that a government shutdown that goes on for a few weeks or a few months, that's going to stop spending? That's what you've got to do when there's a sickness from head to toe. Stop putting the poison in. Eliminate the poison so that you can bring some health and vitality to the body. That's all that we have time for on today's show. The fastest hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show some feedback, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget about my Twitter handle, @StephenFleury. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.